what are the challenges right now that get us to Mars and back? What and how realistic is it? And what's going to be the payoff when we do?
Okay, well, the challenges right now, I mean, setting aside the, you know, how do we get back business, the challenge is the dangers to the human beings that are inside the can there. You've got radiation, which I was talking about before, which is a serious threat, cosmic radiation, solar radiation when there's solar flares, because it can just pass through the walls of the spacecraft. One of the things that they've talked about doing, you have to recycle everything. You're going on a mission to Mars. You can't pack all your food and water. It's too heavy. It's too much space. So they were, and hydrocarbons are good for shielding for radiation. So the idea is that you, on the way out, you would use your food. You'd line the spacecraft with your food, and that actually helps break the particles down, or block the shield of particles, radiation particles. So then, and on the way back, you would save your waste material, and you'd use that to line the spacecraft because you've eaten a lot of the food. So you're flying there in a can of food, and you're flying back in a can of waste.
Exactly. And in this case, too, like it's a giant, sort of porta potty on the way back from the moon. But you've done the, a lot of people could say that they would love to do what Mary Roach does for a living until you come to those important news crossroads like the drinking of one's own liquid waste a purified version of it in order to sustain life. And you have done this.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the guy who, he's kind of an extreme recycler. He came up with the rig. There's a rig on the International Space Station that recycles astronaut sweat and urine, and it turns it into something that you could drink. So, because if you were going to Mars, you're not going to bring water for five people or however many people for 2.5 years. I mean, that would be prohibitively heavy and take up too much space. So you would, and it's not that they've got the technology to do it. They could be doing it for all of us. In fact, he told me that in Orange County, they kind of are doing it with a few steps thrown in there to make people a little more psychologically comfortable. But I thought, all right, I'm going to go and have this interview with this guy. I like to have sort of set a scene in my books. And so I thought, well, let's go have lunch in the NASA Ames cafeteria, and we'll each, as a beverage with our lunch, we'll drink some of our own urine.
Right.
I drank mine, and he drank his. So, and it was, in this case, I was using a different technology. It was something you'd use for survival at sea. It's a bag that, the main thing you got to do is get the salt out of it, because urine has a lot of salt, and that doesn't help you when you need something to drink, if you're thirsty.
Right, sure.
You don't want something, salt water is not going to help you.
It's so unquenching.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. It's unquenching. So they use something called osmotic pressure. You're kind of swapping sugar for salt. So it's very, very sweet. It kind of tastes like something you'd feed hummingbirds. I don't recommend it as a lunchtime beverage.
Right.
But
did ice help? I mean, does temperature make a difference?
Yes, it was chilled.
So then we have, food, you have water, you have waste. What other challenges? Are there any challenges beyond the human dynamics to get us to Mars?
Well, the one other thing that we didn't talk too much about, there's a couple specific weird psychological things of the Mars mission that people worry about. And one of them is something called Earth out of view phenomenon. And that is that if you went to Mars, this would be the very first time that human beings had lost sight of the home planet.
Yeah.
And you would just be in, and also you all you would see out the window is black. You wouldn't even get to stargaze, because much of the time the sun would be, it would be similar to when you have a bright street light. You've got a black sky and a bright light, you can't see the stars. So you've got nothing to look at out the window. You've got no kind of interesting things to look at. And also there's this theory that once you lose sight of the Earth, you would break away from the moral structure of Earth, and maybe people would be killing each other. And I interviewed the guy at the Star City about this, and he goes, "This is an idea psychologists have. Psychologists have to write papers."
Right, right.
He's very dismissive.
Well, but there are some examples, though, that would make one wonder whether that isn't true. what happens even after just 2 weeks of being in space or 6 weeks, when some people get a little squirrely, mm-hmm. and they start to get surly around each other, and they become a little iconoclastic.
Yeah, I was told that there's a space psychiatrist here in the Bay Area at UCSF, and he said what happens at about 6 weeks out is that you start to withdraw a little bit. You're not as social, and you start to just feel the pressure of being just stuck, because if you're ticked off at somebody, you can't just sort of slam the door and go for a drive. You're really soaking in it. And what happens when you're frustrated, like space is very frustrating. When you're frustrated, it kind of metastasizes to anger, and anger wants to go somewhere. You want to dump it on somebody, and you don't want to alienate your crewmates because you depend on them for survival, and you don't want to be the rejected guy that everybody hates. So what happens is called displacement, where you get really, really grumpy with mission control, and you complain about mission control, and you grouse at them. The other thing that happens, particularly with Japanese astronauts who are a little less aggressive in general, they tend to turn it inward. They turn their anger inward. And when you do that, you get depressed. And depression has been a serious issue for some of the long-term, like space station, Mir astronauts. There was one cosmonaut I talked to. One of my favorite quotes in Packing for Mars was, this guy says, I said, you know, how did you call me? Wasn't it difficult? And he said, you know, I was depressed. There were times I was very depressed. I wanted to hang myself. But in zero gravity,
right.
You can't.